I made a list here of people. Ty Kovach, of course. I mean, he's inside, you know, baseball here, so to speak. He's known as our mad genius in City Hall, but he really, in many respects, this deal reflects his very diligent, hard, creative, thoughtful, genius work. And I don't know that we would have actually pulled off the balance of the deal that we did without Ty's work. Ken Rust and Eric Johansson sitting back there, I mean, they were... Again, I would sit, we'd meet on Saturdays, we'd meet in the evenings and during the days, and both of those guys were always right there creating options and ideas and telling us when we had bad ideas and telling us when our ideas weren't bad. They didn't ever really come out and say anything was a good idea. That's not their job. It's just not a bad idea. So we could move and live with that. So I really appreciate that. Mark Moline in the city attorney's office is a person that the public doesn't hear about a lot. I didn't ever work with Mark before this, and he's now one of my favorite people. If I ever am in a position to buy a new car, I told Mark I'm going to call you and ask you to negotiate the deal for me. He is tough. Greg Peden and Steve Siegel, again, on their side, were more than just the other side. They were absolutely creative, thoughtful, in many ways, ingenious partners that allowed us to come up with the particulars that we did to get the deal we did. And of course, it's for Sam and I a pleasure to work with Vera whenever we get a chance to. And it was a real honor to work with her creativity again and have her in the room with us. Vera and I loved to go back and forth when she was mayor, but she's one of my favorite people and still the only person in the world I'm actually afraid of. and, of course, Don Mazziotti had a real hand in selecting sites and coming up with ideas, and I appreciate that. But last but not least, I just feel like it would be unfair, and I have this sense of fairness that plagues me often, but it would be really... a tragedy not to acknowledge Mayor Paulson. I mean, this is a person that, with every fiber of my being, I should not like. I mean, there is nothing about him that shares any experiences with my life and my growing up. And why I like this guy so much is just difficult for me to understand. But I think it has to do with his absolute inability to do anything but speak the truth. And I recognize that, as I think Sam did early on about Merritt, that I kept saying to him, I would love to play poker with you, Merritt. I would really love to play poker with you, because he could not hide when he had a full boat, and he couldn't hide when he had a horrible hand, and you would just take all of his money. He's just completely transparent. He worked really hard. He's impassioned. He has a high energy level. And I just believe that Merritt is an asset to this city. And anybody who says anything other than that is really being unfair to Merritt. And I'm proud that he's part of our community. I'm proud that he has decided to make our city his place of business. He doesn't live in Portland, but he lives next door to Portland, and that's close enough for me. I'm very proud to have had this relationship with Merritt, and I'm exceedingly confident in Merritt's goals for the Timbers and even the Beavers, whether or not we keep them or not. I'm sorry to go on so long, but it was really important for me to say all that, and it's really been an experience that I'll never replicate again, hopefully. But I also look back on it with fondness. It was really a lot of fun with all of you. The Timbers fans are great. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at games soon. And I'm really proud to finally be in the place to vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, I want to start by thanking Tim Crail and Tom Bazot on my staff, who've really looked into this whole deal ongoing very diligently. And on the surface, there's much to like about the current agreement. It doesn't require the use of urban renewal funds. It is paid through by user fees, prepaid rent, and private contributions. I was truly open to the point of supporting the final agreement, despite my intention to vote against the competitive bidding exemption and granting a sole source contract to Peregrine. And I especially appreciate Mayor Adams and his staff keeping my staff and me informed about as the proposals changed as best they could. I assume his staff looked into my proposal to increase ticket taxes for soccer more significantly and found some reason that wouldn't work. Mayor Adams has set the expectation that reasonable people can disagree without being disagreeable, and I am grateful for his leadership in this saga and on the City Council. I'm concerned about protection for Goose Hollow's Foothill Leagues, especially the sightline issue causes concern. And so I'm happy for the amendments, and we'll be looking for further clarification on that as we move forward. But now I've had the opportunity to look into the details of this new deal, and for me, the proposal just doesn't pencil out. The use of zero coupon bonds is troubling. The agreement requires the use of these bonds at a high rate of interest. The price on the ledger is $11 million, but the borrowing will actually cost over $44 million. The use of zero coupon bonds was of concern in the previous proposal and remains so. Interest rates at 9% will be highest, especially in this economic climate. The bonds may be hard to sell. These bonds are necessary because there is no money available in the Spectator Fund for payments on additional bonding for the first 7 years until the Rose Garden bonds are paid off, even after which the cash flow of the Spectator Fund is reduced for another 6 years while the existing PGE Park bonds will be paid off. The outcome of this is the backloading of the debt payments, resulting in the $11 million to be borrowed, costing the Spectator Fund $44 million by the time these bonds will be paid off in 2035. I cannot support borrowing money at high rates of interest to pay for a sports stadium, essentially taking out a second mortgage on the existing debt. I believe this deal still puts the city's general fund at risk. $27 million of that $44 million debt incurred through the use of zero coupon bonds is due after 2025. And that, as we heard, is when the Blazers, that's when the contract with the Blazers is personally guaranteed by Paul Allen. In 2025, the city's agreement with the Blazers end and must be renegotiated. In a worst-case scenario, the Blazers could walk away from Portland with no recourse for the city of Portland, leaving a $27 million debt with no way to pay for it except through general funds. This does not protect the city's general fund, which is one of the conditions of the stadium task force, and that task force requirement I do not believe is being met. The city will receive no cash flow from PGE Park for 21 years. The deal proposes to capitalize the rents payments for the years 2017 through 2038 and to use those funds to provide $12 million towards the renovation of PGE Park. When the city is incurring annual expenses related to PGE Park of $450,000 in 2017, increasing each year up to $730,000 in 2035, there will be no income from PGE Park to pay those expenses. This is not a fiscally prudent approach to finances. And in fact, the reference to the visit of Burnley FC reminds me that the success of a soccer franchise is dependent on the success of the team on the field. Only three of the current MLS franchises are making money, and I am concerned that if the team doesn't do well or MLS folds, that we will have a repurposed stadium that we cannot easily reuse. I'm very troubled that the city is continuing to subsidize the fair wage for Peregrine employees. The city of Portland will be paying nearly $5 million over the 25 years of operating agreement to subsidize the wages of Mr. Paulson's employees. 2 weeks ago, I was assured in council by Commissioner Leonard and Merritt Paulson that the city would not need to subsidize the wages of PGE workers and that instead those workers would be allowed to unionize. The stadium task force included in their report a requirement that Mr. Paulson pay his employees a living wage. That task force requirement is not being met. And while on the subject of the task force, the report also stated, losing the baseball team is not an acceptable trade-off for gaining a Major League Soccer team. Yet the future of baseball in Portland is in doubt, and the council voted to decouple the deals. The task force requirement is not being met. As a city, we talk a lot about environmental sustainability, but we also need to focus on financial sustainability. The bottom line for me is that PGE Park, with the redevelopment being proposed, is not sustainable. It will not jumpstart the local economy. It will not create living wage jobs, except in this case, those being subsidized by the city. The deal is certainly better than the previous proposals, but it's still not a good deal for the taxpayers of Portland. Even under the best possible scenario, the city's cost to own and maintain PGE Park will never be close to self-supporting if we go forward with changing PGE Park from a multi-use stadium to a soccer-specific stadium. In any deal, we must evaluate who pays and who benefits. At first glance, the use of spectator funds and private money seems to meet the test that those who benefit will pay. But in order to assess whether or not this is a good plan, We need to discuss what other uses the Spectator Fund might be needed for and whether it is appropriate to borrow money that might need to be paid back by the general fund. That is why I say again that the taxpayers of Portland are at risk. A large percentage of the Spectator Fund is generated in the Rose Quarter by tickets in the Rose Garden and Memorial Coliseum and by parking revenues from the Rose Quarter Garage. I believe it is unwise to spend a large percentage of those revenues on PGE Park for 15 games of soccer per year. Mayor Adams is beginning a task force to determine the future for Memorial Coliseum and the Rose Quarter. We have an underutilized Coliseum that we are looking to repurpose. While there are some urban renewal dollars available to redevelop the Rose Quarter, by eliminating the availability of the Spectator Fund, we reduce the funding sources available to modify Memorial Coliseum and develop the Rose Quarter. We should not tie up spectator funds for 25 years before we determine the future of Memorial Coliseum and the Rose Quarter. There's currently no way to assess the lost opportunity costs if we put all of our spectator funds in the PGE Park basket. I am open to a big idea. I am willing to invest substantial money, millions even, for an economic development proposal with substantial likelihood of long-term benefits from major investments. But there has to be a payoff for the investment of for the general taxpayers of Portland. I've been known from my days on the Planning Commission as someone who looks after the details. Details that were in short supply, either not available or available only at the last minute, and in some cases, still questionable. I believe details matter. And in this case, to me, the details show that the agreement is still fiscally unwise. We have no guarantee that the PGE Stadium improvements will be cost-effective and provide the amenities that Portland want in a sole-source, non-competitive bid contract. We may well lose the Beavers from Portland. There is risk to the general fund. There will be no income from PGE Park for 21 years, and the spectator fund will be essentially locked up to fund this deal. We will spend nearly $5 million to subsidize wages for Mr. Paulson's employees so that they can earn a living wage. For the reasons stated, I cannot support this agreement. The question is not whether this is a better deal for Portlanders than the previous proposal. The question is whether it's a good deal for Portland taxpayers. I don't believe it is, but that said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's wildly successful, and I will continue to look for improvements as we move forward. No.
Fish.
I want to begin by thanking all the community members who weighed in during this long and at times contentious process. Regardless of your opinion on the proposal before us, it is better, as Commissioner Leonard said, because of this vigorous and robust public debate that we have had. And I want to thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard for, and I was looking for the right word, their perseverance and their willingness to engage many of the concerns raised by skeptics and critics, me included. I also want to acknowledge Ken Rust, who is really one of our most valuable employees on our team. And Ken, your professionalism and integrity throughout this process has brought us to this day, and I thank you. Finally, I want to say a word about Mr. Paulson. He and I have had our differences, but as I've learned as I've grown older, it's not where you start out that matters, it's where you end up. And I have always appreciated his willingness to make a substantial private investment in our community. As you know, I originally voted against the two-stadium deal that came before council in March. And even though I am a big fan of soccer, I did not think it was the right deal for Portland. Among other things, I thought it required too much public subsidy with not enough public benefit, including economic benefit, at a time we faced the worst economic recession of my lifetime. That said, I've always been willing to review any proposal brought forward by my colleagues to assess whether it is financially responsible and whether it protects Portland taxpayers. And to earn my support, the bar has remained very high. The proposal before us, while not perfect, meets the conditions necessary for my support. First, it shifts nearly all of the renovation costs to Mr. Paulson and to sports fans. Of the $65 million needed to acquire the soccer team and to renovate PGE Park, Mr. Paulson agrees to contribute $54 million plus rent payments, and spectators through a user tax pay most of the rest. That's pretty good leverage. The $11 million in bonds issued by the city through the Spectator Facility Fund is backed by user fees and in part by Mr. Paulson. Second, this proposal does not put the general fund at risk. Third, it does not include any funds from an urban renewal district. Fourth, the city has learned from past mistakes at PGE Park by insisting on binding personal guarantees. Fifth, it reduces the original stadium renovation cost by $7 million. During these tough times, everybody needs to tighten their belt. Sixth, the city liability for any cost overruns is capped at $1 million. Beyond that, Mr. Paulson is responsible for all of the overruns. Seventh, the employees of PGE Park will be guaranteed a fair wage. And I will say unequivocally, I believe they have and deserve an unfettered right to organize. The proposal also contains a number of significant community benefits. For example, Mr. Paulson agrees to donate $250,000 to support sports fields in our community. And PGE Park will be available to high school teams and to the Special Olympics at no cost. Now, what does Portland get for its investment? Portland gets a Major League Soccer franchise in a global sport with a record of success in Seattle. The renovation of the PGE Park will generate family wage jobs in the construction industry at a critical time. And we get a chance to root for a new Major League team. As everyone here knows, Oregon is home to Adidas and to Nike. The University of Portland's women's soccer team regularly wins national championships. Youth soccer is on the rise. This weekend, the Westside Metros are playing for a national championship. It is time for MLS in Soccer City, USA. One final note about baseball. My preference from the beginning was a dual use of PGE Park, soccer and baseball together. When that option was taken off the table, my second choice was to keep the Beavers in our region. I understand that Beaverton is interested in hosting the Beavers. While the fate of the Beavers is unclear, I am optimistic that the enthusiastic Beavers fan base will ensure that baseball stays in the Portland metropolitan region for generations to follow. I vote aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to start by thanking future spectators of sports and large venues and those visitors that will be coming to town and paying a hotel motel tax that will be paying for this deal. And by deal, I mean both the old debt and the new debt. And the third, of course, is I want to thank Merritt Paulson for his willingness to put up 54. I undersold in my opening remarks $54 million in private sector funding. That is a good deal for the city. The details do matter, and this is a complex issue. If anyone has ever bought a house and you've been to escrow, you know the sheaf of papers in just trying to purchase your own home and all the complexities contained within that. And that's why we go at this in phases. First is the term sheet, then we go to definitive documents. And so there's a lot more work to be done on this deal, but we are now moving forward. I appreciate the concerns offered by everyone here at the dais today. And if I didn't feel like the concerns expressed by Commissioner Fritz were not addressed in either our analysis or in the term sheet or by our very competent staff, I wouldn't be supporting this. But I believe that they have. And that is why I support it. A couple of thank yous myself. You know, he was a union negotiator for many years, and the city council is very lucky to have him and that experience, Commissioner Leonard. I really appreciate your work. This process has included yelling. It has included rooms full of anger. It has included storming out. It has included long hours, and that was just around the negotiating table. So sometimes I felt I was... it was a surreal experience, and we have more of those to come, and I look forward to them in implementing this agreement. I also as well want to thank Ken and Eric and Mark and David for just your continued great work. They said no to us far more than they said yes to us, and that's exactly what their job should be. I want to thank my staff, Skip and Lisa, who dogged this deal, tracked this deal over time. I, too, want to join in thanking Ty and Brendan as well for your great work on this. The team on the other side, Merritt's team, I mentioned Merritt already. This is the beginning of the end. I'm sorry, the end of the beginning, and now we can get, some days it feels like, but now we can get going. And we got a lot of work to do, but we're up to it, and the foundation of this term sheet allows us to do that. Aye. Can you please call the roll on 1032?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard? Fritz?
No.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1032 is approved. Can you please call the roll on 1033?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
No.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. We're done. Council is adjourned until next week.
Nice job. You did really good.
Thanks. So did you.
Good work.
Rob.
Thank you. Rob.
She won the state championship.
But is
that,
she
lost the
regionals. Oh,
okay. I took her out because she would be more.
Sorry, I forgot to mention you in the first round.
Nice, Steve.
Hot team.
That's all right.
Western, a Beaverton-based team made up of Africans. You saw the team.